from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. Here's a question. Who's the largest energy user in the country? Answer, the U.S. military. That annual energy bill runs about $15 billion a year. So the Defense Department has been finding other ways to meet its energy needs. That's good news for Silicon Valley, where companies specializing in solar panels, wind turbines, and biofuels are getting a boost from military investment. But as Amy Standen reports, this partnership is taking some heat.
From a military standpoint, oil isn't just expensive and hard to transport, it's a liability.
This burnt-out tanker exploded in Pakistan, killing at least 16 people.
NATO oil tankers on fire and flames and smoke climbing high into the sky.
Last year, there were more than 1,000 attacks on U.S. military fuel convoys. That is what's known as a strategic vulnerability.
So we looked at vulnerabilities for the Navy and the Marine Corps. And one of the ones that rose right to the top was our dependence on fossil fuels.
Ray Mabus is Secretary of the Navy. He says fossil fuels aren't just flammable. They also require doing business with the very countries the U.S. is often in conflict with. And instability is expensive.
Every time the price of oil goes up a dollar a barrel, it costs the Navy $31 million in extra fuel cost.
That has sent the military in what might sound like an unlikely direction. It's become a major investor in alternative energy.
Whatever they can do to reduce their fuel use, they are doing.
Phyllis Cutno directs the Clean Energy Program for the Pew Charitable Trusts and is author of a recent report on the military and clean tech. Over the last 4 years, she says, the military has tripled its investment in clean technologies like biofuels, solar panels, and electric vehicles to $1.2 billion a year.
The Department of Defense is not doing all this work in advanced biofuels and more efficient vehicles and more efficient ships and planes because they are green or because they are environmentalists. They are doing it because they want to mitigate risk and they want to reduce costs.
And that's great news for people like Bob McDonald in Mountain View, California.
Let's go out and take a look at the system.
McDonald is the chief technology officer for Skyline Solar, which makes solar arrays. It's relatively low-tech stuff. The components are off the shelf, easy to assemble.
And when it gets into place, it just snaps down.
A few years ago, McDonald saw that the military was looking for clean tech companies like his to partner with. He flew to Washington and presented Skyline's product. It was kind of a new crowd for him.
Wow, there's a lot of brass, you know, literally a lot of stripes and shoulder adornments and things around the table.
Colonels, corporals, sergeants.
I just kept it pretty simple. Sir, yes, sir.
But he soon realized that this audience had a lot in common with the venture capitalists he deals with all the time out here in California. They liked his product, liked the idea that its components are readily available, and the stealth effect. As McDonald demonstrates, compared to a diesel generator, Skyline solar panels, pretty much silent.
You can hear the crickets chirping.
McDonald left with a $1.5 million contract to try his panels out on two U.S. military bases, one in Texas, one in Southern California. If it's successful, he'd like to see the technology brought overseas, powering remote bases in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's not just solar companies that are getting a boost from the military.
So you can see lots of different algae here. And
In South San Francisco, a company called Solazyme makes fuel from algae. Their product is being tested in Seahawk helicopters in Virginia. CEO Jonathan Wolfson says the $8 million military contract is a small part of Solazyme's revenue, but it sends a message.
I mean, 8 years ago, we were five people with a completely delusional dream. And so, you know, you go from that to having an entity like the military, which is very, very disciplined and demands tremendous discipline out of its suppliers, it does really good things to help a company like Solazyme.
Wolfson says by the sheer force of its purchasing power alone, the military can transform a technology from cutting edge to mainstream. It's happened before.
People forget that the internet that they go log on every day was funded by the Department of Defense. They forget that the entire semiconductor industry, they were the ones that put in all the first orders and got the first plants built.
If Wolfson sounds a bit defensive, you can't really blame him. In Washington lately, the words clean technology have become a political flashpoint. Here's Republican Congressman Daryl Issa from Southern California at a hearing last week focused on the bankruptcy of Fremont-based solar panel maker Solyndra. The company had received and lost $500 million in federal loans.
The Obama administration has systematically waged a war
on carbon-based energy in pursuit of new green energy.
ISA and other Republicans have argued that government should avoid investing in clean technology altogether. And this has put Navy Secretary Mabus in a curious position, a high-level military official turned into one of clean tech's most vocal defenders. But he says, as the head of the U.S. Navy, that's his job.
We're doing this to become a better military. We're doing this as a matter of security.
Mabus says his goal is that by the year 2020, the Navy and Marine Corps will get at least half of their fuel from non-fossil fuel sources. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the Dirk and Charlene Kapsenow Foundation.